my brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you from that lovely island nation of Sri Lanka that we all love so much. And I greet you in the early morning hours. You know, it's interesting because sometimes, occasionally, God will nudge me and and it's time to get up. And, you know, when God quickens you, you just got to kind of respond for whatever that is. Sometimes it's because he wants you to spend some time in prayer. Sometimes it's because he has for you to do something specific. Sometimes it's you in the realm of the spirit responding to something that needs to be dealt with. You know, because I mean, we do clash with the kingdom of darkness. You know, as children of light, we do clash with the things that the enemy would send our way. We clash with the things that would come, and you have to use and exercise the power that God has put in you for the purposes. And you know, those can be any moment of any time. You know, that can be in the middle of the night. That can be, you know, in daytime. It can be wherever it is. But you, as a child of God, and also as a warrior, because we are in a spiritual war while we're here in this life, you've got to be ready to respond whenever the battle is on. So, you know, these are just part of the discipline that we learn as disciples. You know, we're disciplined people. As disciples, we learn to quiet ourselves in the Spirit of God and to respond. Now, God he's mindful of your frame. He's mindful of the fact that, you know, we have limitation. You know, so often, you know, even with Jesus, you know, when things got in the press, even with the disciples that he had, he would find a way to even try to separate them out and to spend a little time and let them get some rest. You know, that was imbalance has been something that God has been, you know, it's important to him. I mean, 6 days will you work and the seventh day you'll rest. You know, God has put that in place even with when he fashioned and formed the earth. And these things are there for your benefit. You know, that balance is there for your benefit. That said, you know, also there's a lot of times too that things are going to come up in this walking, dynamic, living relationship and time that we're in the earth, where it's not going to be on your schedule. It's not going to be, you know, when it's perfect timing for you in the natural, but it's going to be exactly when something needs to be done in the realm of the spirit. So this is, again, where we need to just be able to respond, and we need to be able to be, as the Spirit of God quickens us, just go with it. You know, whatever it is that God is quickening you to do. And, you know just well enough at this point to that it's God that's doing that. And you just check with the Spirit, and then you're like, okay, all right, let's go. Just kind of like Samuel learned. You know, he learned the voice of God in the temple. You know, he learned to, you know, when God was saying, Samuel, Samuel, he's like, okay, he learned to respond like, okay, Lord, here am I. And you know, we learn to respond. We learn to be quick to that. And that was an early lesson that Samuel picked up that ended up carrying him later on and through the rest of his life. You know, he always learned to respond to the voice of God. He learned to listen for the voice of God. He learned that lesson where Saul didn't learn that lesson. Saul, you know, was in the midst of the circumstances. Instead of listening for the voice of God and seeking the voice of God, he would look to and listen to the voice of man. And in the process of listening to the voice of man, it would get him in trouble. It would get him, it would put him into a fix. And he tried to make decisions based on his best understanding. But again, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we know this now. We've learned this. We've learned that there are plenty of things that seem right, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof destroy your life, the lives of other people around you. It destroys your dreams, your hopes. It can destroy your very body and your spirit. But these are all ways that seem right to people. People make decisions and make choices. And then there's that other scripture in Proverbs that says, a man's ways destroys his own life, yet his heart rages against God. You know, a lot of people will go their own way, do their own thing, destroy themselves, and then they turn around and get mad at God. And, you know, there's something kind of, I don't know, it's funny, you know, for lack of a better word, but when God puts it there, he puts it out there, and he says, look, go this way. If you go this way, you're going to be blessed. If you go this way, things are going to go well for you. If you listen to my voice, I'm going to be with you, and I'm always going to lead and guide you. And when people reject that, and they say, no, I want to do it this way. I want to go the opposite way. I want to go the way that God told me not to go. And in the process of going the way that God told them not to go, when everything melts down, when everything falls apart, when everything gets destroyed, then they turn around and they shake their fists at God and said, God, how could you let this happen? God, how could you, you know, do this to me? And it's so stupid, because it's like, you know, in the exercising of free will, in the exercising of your choice and decision, in the taking of personal responsibility for your time in the earth, that you have a certain role to play in this too, and you make some decisions and choices too. You're not just a helpless victim of circumstance in everything that goes on around you. But in that process, when people destroy themselves, they get mad at God. And you're going to see more and more of that as time goes on, is a lot of people destroying themselves, or at least, and this time, reaping what they've sown. You know, they're going to reap what they've sown. And as they do that, you're going to also see them flip out and get upset and get mad, which is ironic. Anyways, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, okay, you know, you can go the way that God says and you will be blessed. You know, even sometimes, even if people choose to not follow God for themselves, but if they would even just adopt some of the individual principles that are in the scriptures, they would even see the benefit of those principles in their own life. So, you know, if you exercise good stewardship, you're going to see the benefit and the reward of good stewardship. If you treat others the way that you would want to be treated, you know, if you do unto others as you would have them do unto you, you're going to see the benefit and the blessing of that. So this is where too, where even when it comes down to things like the civil law and certain principles that are there that as a society we should be looking to live under, regardless of people's spiritual affiliations. The reason for that is because those principles come also with a blessing, and things work when those are there, when they're observed. Okay, simple one. All right, the borrower is servant to the lender, and that's in Proverbs. Okay, the borrower is servant to the lender. So if you are the one borrowing, you are going to be servant and indebted to the one that lent to you. So, you know, knowing that principle, and whether you follow the scriptures or not, whether you look to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior or not, this principle is there. No matter what you try to do in this life, this principle is there. So to ignore that principle is to do it to your own hurt. So if you go and you just borrow, you know, like it's going out of style without any responsibility, you are going to be more and more and more indebted to whoever, and you're going to be a servant to whoever lent to you. And if that person that lent to you has some civility, you might just get certain terms and conditions. You might end up losing your house, your very bed underneath you. You might lose a lot because of what you owe, and you have to put up things as collateral or things will get seized. If you have a somewhat civil person that you are that you're borrowing from, if you are in some places where you have loan sharks and criminal organizations that lend things to people, then that can get much, much, much worse for what people then come to extract when somebody owes them. But a very simple principle is the borrower is servant to the lender. So, you know, that being the case, what do you try to do? Well, if you don't want to be a servant or indebted to anyone, if you want to take that a little bit further, and even as the scriptures say, you know, let there, you know, be no debt among you except the debt of love. I mean, you just want to love people and let that be the thing that you pay and repay to one another. But you don't want to be in debt. So knowing that, you are going to conduct your affairs differently in this life. You're going to seek to get out of debt, stay out of debt, as much as possible, and because you don't want to be in that position of servitude. It's a very simple thing, but this is a principle, and it's a principle for successful life, for successful living. Now, within companies, you know, then people get into things and discussing, you know, areas like strategic debt and a few other possibilities like that. So, you know, those are all of the things, and those are more technical aspects to how people engage in these games of business and finance, and yeah, that stuff is out there. But the universal principle is there, and even with that, even when people engage in things like strategic debt, they're still putting that organization into a vulnerable situation until that liability has been settled. So, again, the borrower is servant to the lender. As much as possible, you're going to, when you know that, you're going to seek to keep yourself and the people that you care about, the people that you love, the organizations you work with, you're going to want to try to minimize that so that you're free to do what God has for you to do. That's a big part of it, too. You know, one of the reasons that you'll be able to, you know, I remember when I graduated college, you know, I didn't graduate with much, but I did graduate without being stuck with a bunch of loans, and that made a huge difference for being able to right away just go wherever God had for me to go. You know, I think the system right now in the States is awful, the way they set people up. You know, so often people, they don't even know. They go into these schools, they get straddled with tons of debt, and they come out without a usable skill set that they can even use to help create value and an income for themselves. So people come out right away enslaved, you know, and then, they're stuck. It's... Just realize that this is part, that all these things are part of the game, and to be able to make wise decisions and wise choices is going to be a gift of God. Now, you know, even for me, when I was doing my college studies, and that was something that God did put in front of me that He wanted me to do, you know, I had other options. I had tons of options for places that I could go, and some of them were very, very, very expensive. But also understanding a principle. You know, I also knew that I wanted to minimize debt. And so, you know, I went to a place that was not as expensive as some other options to also cut down what would be, you know, so that I would not have to repay much or anything, you know, when I got done. And I didn't. Now, could I have gone to some Ivy League school and racked up a ton of debt, you know, over the course of 4 years? Absolutely. Or 5 years, or however long you want to do that. But these principles that are there, when you read the word, the word's going to come back to you. And when it comes back to you, it's going to help you understand how to approach decisions in your life. And this is, again, back to a key point, which is, you know, we talk about this off and on, is the how now do you live? See, when the word is in you, the Holy Spirit is a reminder, but for him to remind you, you want to put that in there in the first place. So the Holy Spirit is going to quicken you, and he's going to bring back to you those scriptures when you need them. And that's a work of the Spirit of God. Now, you know, sometimes if you haven't already covered the scriptures, you haven't read them, you know, you may just get an inclination a particular way. You may just get an unction to do something in a particular way, and then later on you might be reading the scriptures and you'd be like, oh, okay, this is why I did that. But it's good to read the scriptures. It's good to allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide you through those, because so often you're going to get the rhema you need for the day. You're going to get the instruction you need for the day. And then when you come into particular situations, especially more and more as the time that we're coming into right now, the Spirit of God is going to quicken you and bring those scriptures back to you and let you know, what to do. So, Proverbs is great. You know, if you are just needing some natural wisdom for a lot of the things that you have to engage in day to day, just start reading the book of Proverbs. You know, that's a great one for helping you to know how to navigate through certain things. You know, there's other scriptures that are just universal principles that will apply no matter what is going on in the world. Now, I want you to understand this too, is that there are some things that are going to apply no matter what is going on and taking place in the world. So, for example, Matthew chapter 6, where Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." And and when he's talking about your needs, the things that you need, where, you know, he's talking about food, he's talking about clothing, he's talking about your natural and your temporal needs, and he said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." God's going to take care of these things, and you're not going to have to be perplexed and worried like the Gentiles are. So now, in that process, so you're seeking first the kingdom of God, you're listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, and as you're doing that, God may at times quicken you, and he may tell you, okay, you need to do certain things. And he's letting you know instructions too for the natural life that you live. So back to Pharaoh and Joseph, you know, you've got, there's a famine that's on the way coming on the land, and Pharaoh and Joseph, you know, between the dream and the interpretation of the dream, Joseph is empowered to start storing that grain for the 7 years that will be the famine that comes on the land. And right away, when the famine shows up, as Joseph was a man that sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and people were also trusting the way the Spirit of God worked with him, there was bread in Egypt. And there was bread in Egypt even when there was not bread in so many other places in the world. And the famine was very great in that time. So right now, as we're coming into times of turbulence, and we're coming into times where you're going to see more and more upheaval all over the world, God is also going to quicken you so that you are not swept up and swept away with a lot of the things that are going to affect a lot of other people that don't know the voice of God. And sometimes there's just going to be little tiny things that God will have you to do that are going to make a big difference. Little tiny things that will make a big difference. So You know, I use the analogy of surfing just because that's something that God kind of showed me early on, was, you know, with the time that we're coming into right now. See, the wave that we are catching and are riding and are on is, now God he's the one doing that move. He's the one doing that movement. So for us, I mean, you need to be on a board so you can catch the wave, and you need to have had some skill that will have been developed by the life and the life experiences that you've lived and the things that you've gone through, so that you can gauge the wave, so that you can adjust for the wave. And then once you're on that wave, you just need to be able to respond and be responsive in what you're in the middle of. But for the people that don't know, for the people that are unprepared, for the people that are not aware of what God is doing, and that are in the wrong position, oh, I tell you, you do not want to be in the wrong spot when a wave is crashing down. You know, and if you're too far out, you just miss the wave entirely. If you're too far out, you don't catch the wave. It just goes by you because you're beyond the point break. And if you're inside, you're just in this dangerous spot where you're just going to get crashed down upon. But if you're in that sweet spot, in the wave, if you're in that sweet spot, you can catch that wave, you can ride that wave, you can have an amazing experience on that wave. And the same wave that will be your amazing experience will be the thing that terrifies and destroys others that are in the wrong spot. You know, I remember one time, well, this is a long time back, I remember getting caught up in I was bodyboarding that time, and for some reason I didn't have my fins with me, and typically, you know, you need these, they're kind of these shorter fins that you can use to it just gives you some propulsion to be able to catch a wave. And for some reason that time I didn't have my fins on, and I remember I caught this wave, and then after I caught this wave, the area that was the spot that I came into, it was a reef break, and I didn't realize that I drifted over into this area that was a reef break. So now that means that there's this coral that's under the water that you may not see until you're actually in it, and then you realize that you're in this area with some coral. And because I didn't have some fins, I couldn't kick out of that spot. And this water was just coming down and crashing down on me, and I didn't have the power to be able to get out of that spot, and there was just wave coming after wave that was just hammering down on me, and underneath me was these jagged, sharp coral. Oh, it was awful. And I was in the wrong spot. Now, on that same area, a little bit further out, there were surfers that were having a great time. But for me, and you know, this is a long time ago, but for me, I was in a bad spot and in a bad way. And my feet got sliced up a bit on that, in that time, and my board got chewed up a little bit. And I was very glad when I was out of that experience. But, you know, taking a few steps further, if that wave was bigger, or if the waves that came down, they could have punished me into that coral. So, those kind of experiences stick with you. You will not forget things like that. But just always remembering too, you don't want to be in the wrong spot when the wave comes. You don't want to be ill-equipped when the wave comes. You want to have, now you have, my brother and sister, you have the right equipment. You've got the full armor of God that's with you. Ephesians chapter 6, read that. Those are the weapons of your warfare. You have it. Use it. Know what it is. Learn to be, learn how these things work, and exercise them. So you've got the helmet of truth. You've got the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You've got that. You need to start using that Word. You need to start praying that Word. You need to start letting the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, come out of your mouth and speak into situations. I speak into situations. Whenever God quickens me, that thing comes out, and it will decimate the works of the enemy. And you can do that. You do that. Do that whenever the enemy starts to try to bring something your way. Because the greater power is in you. You are not a victim of circumstance. So have the right equipment. You need to be moving in that in the time that we live in right now. You don't want to be ill-equipped for the battle at hand. So getting into the scriptures, reading again, spending time in prayer, allowing the Spirit of God to quicken you and show you, these are things that are going to make a huge, huge, huge difference for you in the time that we're coming into. Listening to the voice of the Spirit of God, responding when the Spirit of God quickens you, and going the way that He would have for you to go, doing what God has for you to do. These are important things. You know, these are things that will make a big difference for you in the time that you live in right now. To not listen to the voice of the Spirit of God, to not prepare yourself, is to do stuff to your own hurt, to your own destruction. Because the way that seems right unto so many people, it is going to result in a lot of loss and a lot of pain for a lot of people. And for you, my brother, you, my sister, that's unnecessary. It's not necessary that you go and experience the same things that the world is experiencing this time. No, you've been called out. God brought you out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, the place where you may have gotten stuck is you may have gone back into bondage, just like the Galatians. When Paul wrote to the Galatians, he said, "Who's bewitched you? Who's tricked you? How did you get, you were coming out and you got tricked, you were getting tricked back into this whole thing again." That happens. But when you get quickened and when God speaks to you and you start realizing that you're being tricked and you're being deceived and you're being brought back into bondage, get out. That's where you want to listen to the voice of the Spirit of God. Get out. See, how often will people want to tear down the messenger or destroy that because they've got a vested interest or they like their slavery or they like the illusion? So they want to start ripping down the person that is bringing that message and discrediting the message because they don't have a heart for truth. When Jesus was talking about, you know, he said, look, with John the Baptist, he said he came neither eating nor drinking. You said he's got a demon, and the Son of Man came eating and drinking. He said, here's a wine bibber and a friend of the worst sort of people. But wisdom is proved right by our children. So here comes John a particular way that people don't want to hear what he's got to say. So they start attacking him in different ways. Here comes Jesus in a different way, but the same spirit of truth, the same wisdom being shared, and they find another reason, a total different reason to attack Jesus. So people will do that. People will come after you and come at you, and they'll try to find fault with you, and it's going to be more than anything because of the spirit of truth in you, because of the light that shines through you, and the destruction that they want to do to you is because of that which God has blessed and put in your life. Now, you need not make any apology for that. God tapped you on the shoulders and he said, you know, my son, my daughter, come this way, follow me. And you did. Praise God. There was more rejoicing in heaven that day than over everybody else that was already on that track. There was, because God loves it when people get aligned with Him and move into their purpose and into their reason for existence in the earth. But as you did that, you shifted from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Those that are still there on that other side don't like it. Because now you're a representation of the other way. You're a representation that there's truth available. You're a representation that there's a chance for something else that can be in this life. And they don't want that. They don't want people to know that there's an exit. They don't want people to know that their soul does not have to remain captive, that they don't have to live in bondage, that they don't have to play the devil's game. You don't have to play the devil's game. So this whole thing that people try to do, and they try to circle around the world and the world system and try to make it in the world system, and then they think that that's the blessing of God. No, you don't need to do all of that. If you follow God, He's going to show you step by step, day by day, moment by moment, how to function, what to do, how to respond to the things that are going on around you. But you don't have to be, you can be, like Jesus said in His prayer in John 17 to about His disciples, you know, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You know, His prayer was not for the world, and His prayer was not to take them out of the world, but to protect them from the evil. Because the wheat and the tares grow together simultaneously at such a time as this. We're both together in this paradigm. And as you're both together in this paradigm, while you're here, the prayer is not that you would be taken out, but that you would be taken through. And that God would strengthen you, encourage you, and take you through and protect you even from all the things that, and all the destruction, all the plans of the enemy against your soul, that God would take you through and quicken you and empower you and show you and lead you and direct you. And your role in that is when God speaks, you respond. When God quickens, you act. When He's with you, you take confidence in His presence and nothing else. You don't need a man. You don't need a person. You don't need a human personality. You just need to know His voice, and you need to trust Him. Because that's what Abraham started out with. You know, he knew the voice of God. He trusted that voice, and God led him. That's what you know, Moses started out with. That's what Joseph started out with. Now, some of them struggled a little bit more with things than others, but they responded to the voice of God. So these are not perfect people by any means, but they responded to the voice and the call that God put on their spirit and on their heart, and they learned and experienced that which was real, that which was true, and that which God had for them. And that's God's intention for you as well. So you give all of yourself that is there and all of yourself that you are to all of God that you know and that He's revealed and what He's spoken to you, and you go with that, and that's all it is. And take up the things that are your inheritance as a child of God. So read the scriptures, because it's going to reveal to you so much of who you are and who you've been called to be, helping you, bringing into remembrance who you are from an eternal perspective. Move in those powers. Move in that strength that God has given you. Move in what God has put in your life, and watch. Watch what happens. It's an incredible adventure that you end up living while you're here in your time on the earth. So, you know, with that, just know we love you guys out there. We pray that God blesses you, that He keeps you, that He leads and guides you into all truth. And, you know, we just want to continue to encourage you in this journey, because we know that we're coming into some turbulent times, but we also want you to always know that God is in control and God is with His people. And don't be like Peter, that when the storms came, he started looking all around him at the storms and started to sink. If you look at your external circumstances, your hearts are going to be discouraged. Keep your eyes on Jesus. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, you will do the miraculous amidst the storm. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your focus on Him. And when He speaks, you follow. When He leads, you go with the leading of His Spirit. When He shows and directs, you just follow that instruction. You're going to be fine. God's with us. We in Him, we've put our trust and our hope. And with that, love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. You can say hi to us there. And we look forward to catching up with you guys again sometime soon. All right, God bless you. Talk to you later. Bye.